This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8 o'clock hour here on Sean and RJ and 105.3 The Fan. It is your hump day edition of the show. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton at 8 alongside Brett Boone at 9:20. He is back for another year. We do this. Every other Wednesday, we'll do it with him during the baseball season. He was fantastic last year, so we're going to kick that off again at 9:20.
What do you think he's going to? You think he's going to agree with your take? Rangers are right now the best team in the American League, or is he going to side with Bro?
Oh, he might side with Bro. I get it. You know, blood runs deep. Family first, or whatever.
He's been pretty fair about Aaron, though.
He has been.
He's not a big homer.
He's definitely not a homer. So I'm sure there's a competitiveness that he doesn't want his brother to get all the accolades. But, you know, Brett had a better baseball career, though. So
he did.
Than Aaron did.
But Aaron did have that big home run.
He did.
Aaron bleeping Boone.
So it is, tomorrow is opening day. Tomorrow we will hear from Chuck Morgan, Rangers PA. We'll hear from Matt Hicks. And Jason Stark will join the show 9 o'clock. For Jason Stark from The Athletic. Hicks at 8, and then Morgan at 7:20. That's tomorrow morning.
A loaded show.
Chuck
Morgan, big-time listener of the morning show,
too. Yeah, absolutely. So we gave you the news that happened, and that's that Evan Carter did not make the Rangers' opening day roster. This scared me a little bit, and I kind of hate that he didn't make the opening day roster. Not necessarily because it's the wrong decision. That's not why I hate it. And I didn't see him in spring training. We weren't out there. Didn't get a chance to. But it just means that he's just not ready yet. And it's just something wrong.
It's so weird, though, because he looked like he was born for it in that October run. It was just like, all right, there's no question he's ready. He's only ascending from here. Like, to me, Evan Carter was like, regression wasn't even a question. Like, that wasn't going to happen.
I didn't think that was possible. I didn't think it was possible. Because, you know, he had... It's not like he was out there just man-hacking everything and it was running into pitches. I mean, he had such an awareness of the strike zone, at such a mature awareness of the strike zone at such a young age, that it really just threw me off that he could possibly have such a downfall. So it has to be injury, right?
You would think, unless just, like we talked about with Jared earlier, unless there's something off with the mentals.
Man, the mental side of sports, there are a few things I don't think people talk enough about. You know, the mental side, I don't think people talk about the altitude enough.
Oh, I mean, they do in Coors Field.
Well, I know, but like, You know, BYU went in and they just, you know, they whooped up in Denver. They played in Denver. They were used to the altitude. The other teams weren't. They took care of business, man. It was Wisconsin. They were the highest peak there. It was like 600 feet.
If you were to, like, I mean, I know this is one of the big things. If Derek Holland's listening right now, I know he's pumping his fist at what you're talking about, because this is one of the biggest things to Derek, is that mental side of it. Like, I've heard Derek talk about this before. Derek feels like, and a lot of athletes will feel this way whenever you talk to him about the game, that is one of the most, everybody's a good athlete, everybody's good at this, everybody's got this and that, that mental side is mm-hmm. where you find your edge a lot. And yeah. that's where you find your advantages, is in that mental side. And if you're losing it, if you're not just standard, but you're actually, it's working against you, it can fall apart quickly.
Look at, I mean, who are the two or three or four, like, greatest athletes of our era? It's Tiger, it's Brady,
Jordan,
and it's Jordan.
Yep.
And they're just mentally so much more.
Well, when did Tiger lose it?
Well, Tiger lost it when his life fell apart.
Right.
Yeah.
And mentally, probably hard to stay engaged the same way.
Absolutely. You have kids, you have family, you have problems, you have issues, you got all that stuff that rolls into it. And that's when it all starts to fall apart for you. But the mental side of it, there's no doubt. And, you know, we saw it with Michael Gallup with his knee. Now, he wasn't on the level of Tiger Woods or anything like that, or even Evan Carter. But he was a good player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he mentally lost it. So I hate that. I hate that for Evan. But, I mean, look, if he's not playing well, you can't have him on the big boy club. So Jack Leiter and Kamar Rocker have both made the opening day roster. And they will fill out the final two spots of the rotation.
Two spots.
That John Gray, because he got hurt, and then Bradford got hurt. And they're going to fill out those spots in the rotation. So this, Bobby Bell, I have a question for you.
I have an answer for you, Chad.
All right. You know, let's say they both pitch well. And then Gray and Bradford return.
Mm-hmm.
What is the solution to the good problem that you have just created?
I'm not screwing with Jack Leiter if he's pitching well. If I've figured that out, if I've gotten Jack Leiter to a spot where he looks comfortable and he's found his rhythm, I'm not screwing with that. Like, there's an easier chance to work, do something with Rocker, or I can mix and match in other areas. I am not doing anything to throw off a groove that Jack Leiter may have settled into.
Yeah.
Because you've been chasing that for 2-3 years now.
The upside of Leiter, you gotta play for it.
Well, it's been teetering. It's felt like, is he going to stick? And so if he starts working out, I'm not messing with that. My inclination is to say if Leiter and Rocker are working, you roll with Leiter and Rocker. Those are your investments in the future anyway.
My initial thought on this.
But I do want to get Cody Bradford back here because he's such a big-time listener.
I also think he's a really good pitcher.
He is a good pitcher, also a big-time listener and an Alito guy.
Yeah, so the conventional wisdom is when you've got 7 starting pitchers is that you can use some of those as bait. Trade bait.
Mm-hmm. Which John Gray very well might be that.
My concern here, though, is that you've got the front of your rotation, not necessarily the guys pitching game one and game two, but mm-hmm. the front of your rotation, the front line guys are Valdi and DeGrom. They're old and they get hurt.
Yeah.
You have to sit there. I know it's going to stink to tell two of those four, whoever it may be, Leiter, Rocker, Gray, Bradford, even Mally, mm-hmm. you know, depending. Hey, guys, I know that you want to pitch. We're not going to trade you, though. We're not going to trade you. We're going to long relief, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Go to a 7-man rotation for all I care. Seriously, because you need to be able to give DeGrom a day off. Every 3 or 4 starts, it would not surprise me if they decide to skip DeGrom every 4th start. Skip him, give him 10 days off.
Yeah, we talked about his whole recovery track and plan a couple weeks ago that Jeff Passan had written about. And the Rangers are clearly keenly aware of this is such a huge investment and we've got to make sure that we're getting the most out of it. And getting the most out of it does not mean maximizing the number of available times. It means making sure he's available as frequently as possible, not throwing him out there every single time on a tight rotation every single day that he's healthy, because that's going to be a quick way to just destroy having him available.
What is your biggest question mark in the lineup right now? And that could be
the lineup or the team.
Well, non-pitching.
Okay, I was going to say pitching is the biggest question for me. The biggest question for me is just who's going to bounce back? Like out of Adolis, Heim, yeah. Like these guys who started slipping last year. Seager didn't have the most Seager year, but I trust Seager's going to be great. Simeon obviously has seen a little bit of a statistical regression in the last couple of years.
That's age, right?
Yeah, it is. But the two that you're really watching, I think, are, all right, is Adolis going to return to form? Was last year kind of an aberration, or was that an aggressive fall off? Same thing for Heim. Does Heim bounce back the way that he needs to? Tavares, are you going to be able to sustain some of Tavares' success from spring training? He's had a couple different years now where he's played, you know, he's hit well at the plate for a stretch early in the season, and then things kind of start turning on him a little bit. So I think I kind of wonder if Tavares is just always going to be a hot and cold player. But yeah, biggest question is if Adolis and Heim can get back to like 23 levels, this team's going to be in really good shape.
It's probably Tavares. Probably.
But don't you kind of feel like you know what he is?
I know what he is.
I don't know what Adolis and Heim are going to do
well
at this point.
That's true. That's true. And then, you know, like, you know, how many days off do they give Heim? You know, Higgy, I think, is a solid backup catcher. Did well in San Diego. Did well in New York before that. And I'll tell you this. I mean, the Simeon age is absolutely a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is something that is just going to be the reality that moving forward.
How old is he? 34?
Yeah. Yeah, 34.
Yeah, 34. He will be 35 in September.
The Rangers have the fourth highest win projection in the American League behind Baltimore, New York, and Houston. Houston has 89 projected wins. So do the Yankees. Baltimore has 88. And then the Rangers' win projection is 87. They got a 61% chance to make the postseason, according to all these, you know, preseason projection methods.
Which you're not buying the Houston sustainability, right?
I think Baltimore and Houston, they fell off. Look, Baltimore lost Burns and Santander. Houston lost Tucker and Bregman.
Kyle Tucker.
And they bring in Christian Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees lost Garrett Cole and Juan Soto. Cole for the year. Like
Stanton, too.
And Stanton, too. So, I mean, again, I keep going back to this, keep harping on this. I think the Rangers are the best team in the American League right now because they haven't been hit by the injury bug. They will because everybody does.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
As things evolve and change, you reserve the right to change your mind. But as of this second, you say best team in the AL.
People are very high on Boston. I mean, you're going to tell me that Walker Buehler, who can't stay healthy, is going to stay healthy, and that Garrett Crochet is that dude? All right. Okay, and then Alex Bregman and Devers don't have some kind of a falling out because they both want to play third?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's a ticking time bomb as well. So,
well, and wait, did we even... what about
I didn't even say out of Seattle.
Well, no, and like, did you just, maybe you did reference it and I missed it, but you didn't reference either the dynamic of Bellinger and his love affair that complicates things with Stanton, too. That also makes things...
Oh, my gosh. He's married to Stanton's ex-girlfriend
that also,
or something?
That also might make things a little sensitive for the Yankees.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. So, there's an update in the death. You saw the death of Brett Gardner's kid.
Yeah, it was awful. We were together at Topgolf when we saw that. It was awful.
He was a 14-year-old. They were on vacation in Costa Rica, and they initially thought it was asphyxiation. That was originally the cause of death. They said they have now ruled this out. The Costa Rican authorities have ruled that out. And there is talk. He felt ill after eating a meal. So they don't know if it's some kind of a food poisoning issue.
But they all got sick, right?
A lot of them got sick, but he's the only one that died. I couldn't even imagine how... I mean, this is just so tragic.
This is my greatest fear in life is that I not to get too dark or whatever the term would be, but I always tell Krista this, like my greatest fear is losing one of the kids or I pass away before the kids get into adulthood.
Right.
Like that would, or what, me or Kristen pass away before one of the kids gets into adulthood. Because I'm living proof how that can send somebody on a different trajectory, their chap.
Yeah. They were staying at this hotel and he passed away in his sleep. They thought initially he may have vomited and choked, but they are saying that is not the case. This is
I genuinely, for anybody out there who's listening to us, who has dealt with child loss and come out the other side, you're a superhero. Yeah, I don't have any clue how you get past that.
Not a clue. So that sucks. I don't have anything else to say.
I feel terrible for Brett Gardner.
Yep, really do. It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. The Mavs, they do something right. Well, why you need to delete your date? We talked about that. And what would you do if this was your kid's coach? Next on 105.3 The Fan.
Corner three. It's good. OG Anunoby with 30.
That is Knicks TV with the call. The Mavericks do what they should have done the night before. And that is lose. They fall to the Knicks 128-113. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because it's just, when you said the Mavs do what they were supposed to do, my first thought was, finally, they do what they were supposed to. And only partially. They lost. They also still talked into a microphone. Management did, which we'll revisit here in a sec.
Najee Marshall had a heck of a night, 38 points in 38 minutes. I do believe that's a point per minute.
Dude, he's awesome. I really do love watching Najee Marshall play. He has been such a bright spot this year. And that dude's just, he is everything that he was pitched to be. Just would have been nice to see if it would have been on a contending basketball team.
Yeah, it would have been nice. More on the Mavs in a second. Where are we going to be the rest of the week, though, on 105 The Fan?
We're loaded up. KNC Masterpiece will be live from Globe Life Field on Thursday for opening day. They'll broadcast from the ballpark from 10 to 2, taking you up to Rangers pregame. You can say hi to them at their broadcast setup behind center field. Also, since we're talking about Rangers, you got to remember we are the Rangers station.
No way.
If you want to hear the Texas Rangers, you got to be right here. And if you want to win Texas Rangers tickets, you got to be right here. We gave another pair away, Rangers tickets in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to do that again Thursday and Friday. So all this week during the 7 o'clock hour, giving away Rangers tickets. And then Friday, we'll be out at Keller Fire Station number 1, 455 Keller Smithfield Road South. And we're going to have those Sean and RJ Firehouse aprons, free breakfast from Whataburger while supplies last. Eric Chiafalo will be in attendance with us. Thanks to Firehouse Roofing, Whataburger, and Firehouse Movers for partnering up with us and making the whole thing possible. And then one more local shout out where you can be today. We're here at the studio and we'll be out at those places. But the UIL area soccer playoffs are going on today. And our buddy Coach Rift Dog, the Tolo, wanted to say, hey, could you guys give people a heads up? We got the girls and boys doubleheader between W.T. White and Midlothian. It's at 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. today at Franklin Stadium. We had a four-hour lightning delay and rain delay yesterday, so everything got pushed today. People aren't sure when the thing starts, so he wants to try and bring as much attention so people know, hey, this is what's going on. So Franklin Stadium today, noon and 2 p.m., W.T. White, Midlothian girls and boys soccer doubleheader.
Man, it is that time of year with the storms. You get hit last night?
I think so. I slept through it. I mean, I saw them coming in on the radar, and I heard noises, but I don't know how bad it was. I didn't notice any new dents on my car.
No, I didn't.
It's been in two wrecks, so the front and the back are crushed up pretty good. But
The back of your car looks like somebody kicked it.
Yeah.
Or threw a baseball at it.
Yeah, the back of my car looks like Jennifer Connelly in Requiem for a Dream.
Peyton?
Toe up.
Yeah, hail a little bit, huh?
Yeah, lots of hail on Rockwall. I think it rolled around 9:45, 10 o'clock. I was getting in bed, and then I heard it hit the roof and hit the window. I went outside, had to move my fiance's car in the garage. But everything's so good this morning. No damages.
Rick Welts was on the broadcast talking. He's like the Mavs, president.
CEO. He's strictly, basically business development. He helped get the Golden State Arena built. That's a big part of why he's here right now.
He was with the Warriors for years. Like you said, he got their new stadium built in San Francisco. They used to be in Oakland. He got them into the San Francisco proper. And he was on the broadcast yesterday talking about the Luka trade and as if you can call it a success or a failure yet.
I'm listening every day to how fans are feeling about everything, not just the trade, okay? And I think you know, when they get to know this ownership group, when they get to know, you know, what they're all about, I really do think you're going to see all the ingredients for success here and the commitment to reach that success. You're going to get to know me as a glass half full guy. I think what this really proved to me was the emotional connection between our fans and this team. It's extraordinary, unlike anything I've seen in my 47 years. And there is a lot of emotion about it. It's a trade. The wonderful thing about our business is these things have a scorecard, right? Time, wins and losses will tell whether the deal was a good deal or a bad deal. I just am going to promise to our fans right now, whatever trust we have lost or whatever concerns they have, we're going to earn it back because we're going to do this the right way. We're going to win championships.
You know what? It hit me because... And we're going to play with what Stephen A. said on First Take yesterday in a second. The Mavs have dug in on trying to prove themselves right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They know deep down that they completely misjudged this. They misjudged the fan reaction. They thought we were going to take it like any other trade. Like, oh, well, we got a good player. They completely misjudged it. They did not expect this at all. And now they've continued to play catch up, and that's why every move they've made since has been the wrong one. They're not out in front of anything. And that is, I believe, this comment, stuff like this, and all the things they've said is why Anthony Davis played the other night.
Yeah.
They're trying to prove, hey, guys, see, this is the right thing to do.
Yeah. They're trying to get a, they want a cash advance. That's what they want. They're trying to. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait for that fund to mature. I gotta get cash out
right
now.
Call him General.
Yeah, exactly. Call him the General. I gotta get cash right now. I mean, look, we saw it. One person on the text earlier when we had talked about this earlier in the 6 o'clock hour had said that, you know, well, he said all the right things there. I nothing there he said was bad. All right, so I made sure to track while we were listening there so I could specifically list, like, I don't like this. When he's talking about when they get to know us, they're going to see all the ingredients are there, our commitment to success. No, this, the problem is you're not even trying to get to know this fan base.
You're not.
You didn't bother to get to know him for Dumont a year, for Nico Harrison 3 years. Didn't even try. He says, I think the one thing this trade taught us is the emotional connection to our team is extraordinary. That's a really Orwellian way to try and flip. You pissed a lot of people off. No one's you made dying. Them angry. This was not a sign of love that people were freaking out at you over what you did. And I think it's ridiculous to say what we learned through this is how much people don't want us to trade a 25-year-old superstar because they love us. Okay, well, if you didn't understand that they loved the team before, again, that's ignorance. You guys were ignorant of this. When he says these things have a scorecard, time will tell. No, time has already told. No matter how this trade ends up, you didn't get the right value. So you lost on that one to begin with. And it's already looking like you've lost completely. That's not a positive for you at all.
I just think they're trying to play catch up, and that's why they played Anthony Davis the other night.
And don't promise me championships. Don't say, I promise we're going to win back the trust because we're going to win championships. Stop. Stop digging yourself deeper with promises that you're in all likelihood not going
to
fulfill.
Yeah, it's very difficult to keep that promise. I mean, if Patrick Mahomes said, I promise you I'm going to win another Super Bowl, it's very difficult for him to keep that promise too. Like, don't promise it. Like,
that's just one.
You know, it's very...
And that's just one championship he's promising.
Yeah.
And Mahomes. He just said championships, plural. He's selling two at least.
This is very, very difficult to do that. So, Anthony Davis sat last night. I mean, it's the right thing. You don't play him too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Stephen A. Smith on First Take had a problem with them even rolling him out there the night before.
Now, him wanting to play, I understand, because Luke is doing what he's doing. Yes. And you want to get out on the court and bust some people's butt and let them know you ain't that, you that dude. You ain't no joke either. I got that. I understand it from his point. From an organizational perspective, from ownership down to Nico Harrison, down to Jason Kidd, this brother can get injured at any moment. We understand it. Kyrie ain't here. The other bigs ain't here. This season's a watch. And, oh, by the way, last point. You had no problem blowing games in late in the season a couple of years ago when Luka could have gone. You had no problem doing it then. So what's the problem with doing it now? Especially with a dude 6 years older and more injury prone. I'm sorry. His ass wouldn't be playing if it was up to me. Be ownership. Yo, bro, I got you a crib in Cabo or, you know, Las Ventanas in Mexico. We got a couple of spots. You go there. He wouldn't be playing. I'm telling you that right now. He wouldn't be playing.
I've never seen an organization decisions universally panned the way they have been by the experts, and they continue to make them. And I think that the reason they played Anthony Davis is exactly what Rick said there a minute ago, where he was like, you know, they're trying to show that they were right. They're, instead of just maybe admitting defeat, they're trying to prove they were right. And it's disappointing.
Yeah, they're dug in on, we need to show return now because we got to win back the court of public opinion. I like that apparently they're feeling enough heat that they feel the pressure to do something. But as I said earlier at 6 o'clock, just go ahead, pack it in, keep your mouth shut for 11 more games, whatever it is, and just get to next season and revisit it then. Do whatever you're going to do this offseason. Stop telling me about what you're going to do and just do it. And then we can talk about it again in October if everybody's calmed down, which I don't think they will be calmed down.
But I don't think so either. Time. I don't think they will be. I mean, it's going to take a lot, man. Like the amount of just vitriol that has happened here. It's going to take some time for all this to calm down. Did you see this video from the basketball, high school basketball in New York where the coach pulled the girl's hair?
Yeah.
Yanked her back?
Yeah.
To no one's surprise, he was let go.
You're kidding.
Jim Zullo was his name, from Northville. Northville head coach immediately fired. I could only imagine what the average parent does if they see this video happen to their little girl.
Dude, kudos
who's
to
maybe a middle schooler, high school kid, freshman. She looks very young.
Kudos to her teammate though. That one girl who was standing right by her and then got in the way, like put her hand up and was like, "Do not do that. Like, dude, you need to chill out. Step back." I mean, that was another girl her age who just got in between her and the coach and said, "You take a step back, dude. Walk. Like, you need to go away." This is the timing of this story coming out, though, is kind of relevant in my house. So Addison has started wearing ponytails around.
Yeah.
And when you were growing up, Chop, and you were in high school, for instance, did you ever have, I don't know if this would have been modernized when you were doing it. Did you ever have the, like, if a girl had a ponytail, people would walk by and just yank on it when they were walking by?
Yeah.
I did that all the time.
Yeah, and that's
I know. Peyton, you did it?
I was a yanker.
Super.
Well, ponytail, guys. You guys grow up.
I had brought this up to Addison recently. I said, "Has anybody ever pulled on your ponytail? Because I'll kick their ass." And she's like, "No, why would somebody pull my ponytail?" I was like, "Nobody, when girls wear the ponytails at school, nobody just walks by and just pull it." And she's like, "No, why would somebody do that?"
Man, my kid, my youngest, Julian, he's 12. He's 12. He tries to pants me every time I'm around him. Every time we're in public.
It's a good bit. I'm gonna join in.
And like, it's just, I'm like, dude, no, you know better than that. But he doesn't like do it. Like, he tries to get underneath and get the underwear to the boxer briefs. I don't wear old man boxers. I wear the boxer briefs. And he tries to get under there and just rip it down.
Yeah, that's a little mud. He's wanting more than just he's wanting more than just pantsy. He wants to two-layer pantsy.
Yeah. I mean, he wants to full-on expose me.
that's exactly what he's trying to do there.
I mean, I'm like, especially if I wear like the combo pant where they have like the lining. Then he doesn't even need to do that. He just grabs him and pulls him down.
Where does some of this come from with him? You've told us some stories before about things that his mind is just fascinated with. Where did that come from?
He's me. He's just me. That's something I would have done. If that was a thing back then, I would have absolutely done that.
I was saying, normally some of the stuff he mentions his obsessions with, you got to enter your driver's license on a website.
Wow, yeah. That's true. What is coming up next in Below the Belt?
Would you welcome back Wildcatter Jerry and make this trade for the Cowboys next month? That's next in Below the Belt on the Fan.
the great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Can I interest you?
Yes.
In the best player in the NFL draft?
Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter.
Travis Hunter.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you could interest me in Travis Hunter.
Let's talk about how to get him then, right here in Dallas.
How much better is he than Abdul Carter, do you believe?
I think he's significantly better.
Okay, now, what if he was only a corner?
I'm talking about him as only. I'm only going to play him at one position. Maybe some other mix in there, but I think he's, as a corner, he's better to me. I think so.
Better as a corner than Abdul is
as a pass rusher.
Yep. Okay.
I think Travis Hunter's going to be a superstar. I think he's fantastic. And we're going to talk about how to get him here in Below the Belt, which is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. That's a first-class buying experience. All right, so over at NFL.com, Chad Reuter has 6 win-win first-round trades that teams should make, okay? So they talk about, you know, he goes through the history of just different trades of like, hey, these have worked out for everybody. The classic one for me growing up that people used to say was a win-win after like 2 years was they were like, huh, one of those rare trades that worked out for everybody when the Rangers got Michael Young and the Tampa Bay or the Toronto Blue Jays got Esteban Loaiza. And that was back when Loaiza was like kind of good.
He had a weird career.
He had 1 year where he popped and he started the All-Star game.
That was he was in the White Sox that year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I would take Michael Young any day of the week to get.
Yeah,
I would give up Esteban Loaiza. But at the time, everybody's like, oh, what a great trade. It worked out for everybody. These are ones that are supposed to work out for everybody. And we'll get to the Cowboys trade here in just a second. These are draft trades. I want to see how you think this might shake up the landscape a little bit, Chop. First one, the Arizona Cardinals receive 13th overall pick in round one from the Dolphins, and they get a 4th round pick in exchange for 16 and 78. So why would the Dolphins trade away the 13th pick and a 4th rounder for just 3 spots down in the 3rd? They say that the Cardinals trade for Paris Johnson 2 years ago displayed their willingness to pay a price to improve their offensive line. In this scenario, they jump ahead of Indianapolis and other teams to pick up a big-time offensive line prospect. Miami possesses 7 day 3 selections, so sending one of them to Arizona to secure a day 2 pick seems reasonable. So you got that there. The Green Bay Packers trade their first round pick 19 to the Buccaneers, which is 23. They flip with the Bucs and get a day 3 or a day 2 pick out of that in the 3rd round. He's also got the Bills trading out of the first round almost back to Minnesota, giving up the 24th pick for the 30th and 2 4th rounders. Why would Minnesota give that up and come up there for? What would that be for? Well, they say that the Vikings, as they look at things right now, they enter the draft with just 4 picks, including after last year their trade for edge rusher Dallas Turner. So this would be an opportunity for them to jump back a little bit, collect some capital, let the Bills move up, make a move for a corner, something like that. Then you get to the Dallas Cowboys. In this pick, the Dallas Cowboys receive pick number 20. Well, that's not for Travis Hunter.
No.
No, it wouldn't be. Cowboys move back to the Broncos for pick number 20 and pick number 51, a second rounder. Okay. So they're giving up 12. They're giving up a 5th rounder, 149. First and a 5th to the Broncos to get number 20. You go down 8 spots and then you get number 51. So you get the Broncos second round pick. Now you have 2 second round picks. You've made up for the Mingo trade. You do those things. He writes that the Cowboys moved down for the 3rd time in 5 years if running back Ashton Jeanty is not available when Dallas is on the clock. At number 12, the Cowboys landed Micah Parsons after trading with the Eagles and last year grabbed Tyler Guyton after a swap with Detroit.
I love trading down, by the way.
Yeah.
Big fan of it.
Me too. The Cowboys could stand pat and just stand in and pick Golden or Tet McMillan at 12, but a mid-second round selection may be enough to induce a drop down the board. Matthew Golden from Texas, or Emeka Egbuka could be available
Ohio
at number 20.
Right?
Yep. As could another well-regarded back in Omarion Hampton. I'd be in favor of the move in this instance to pick up the extra second, especially if I knew I was going to get Golden. Egbuka's a good player. He reminds me, when I was comparing notes and trying to figure out what I might be able to see in terms of, after I looked at my notes and I compared it to other notes I've had in other players, I was trying to see who's similar, where does this match up a little bit. The guy he reminded me of, honestly, from when he was coming out of school was Cooper Kupp. It was the same kind of player to me, where maybe there's some questions about long speed, but a really good technician who plays in the slot, is a bigger slot and has some route running ability to get open. To me, I think he would be a great pickup. If you could move back those spots, pick up the extra second round pick, I would absolutely take that any day of the week. But that's just to pick up extra draft capital. What if you want to say, you know, I'd like to
get rid of my draft capital.
I'd like to swing for the fences, baby. I want to go up. I want to do this. I want to sacrifice it all and make a move.
Last time the Cowboys traded up.
Oh, gosh. That would have been trying to think if they've made the one that stands out is when they did it in 2012 and they went up and got Morris Claiborne.
Right.
I'm trying to think. I don't think they've done it otherwise. They traded up to get, not in the first round, they traded up to the top of the second to get DeMarcus Lawrence.
Did they not trade back into the first round to get Travis Frederick?
No, they moved down. No, they jumped way back on that one is what they did.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so you've already you got a lot of things that you got to replace, okay? But Daniel Jeremiah floated this the other day. The idea of, you know, what if that's the big move that Jerry would like? What if he'd like to say, you know what? We're going to go get Travis Hunter. Let's make a real splash. Let's go get the best player in the draft. Let's do it. So Tennessee, you're not going to go all the way up to one to get that pick. Let's say they go ahead, they take Cam Ward or they trade out of it, whatever. Cam Ward goes number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cleveland goes and says, okay, we're going to take Abdul Carter. Let's go the route of Carter. Giants are sitting there and they just go, pull the trigger, take Shador. Okay. If you can get into
New England, right? Is on the clock.
New England is on the clock now. Mike Vrabel's coming in there. They got a lot of different things that they need to do. They could obviously just stand in there and pick Travis Hunter at that point. But what I would do is I would say, all right, we're going to give you 12. We'll go ahead. We'll give you the second rounder, 44. And you might at that point, what you could do is you could go 1, 2, 3. So do you want to give up 44, 76 in the first? So you have no picks on day one. On the first 2 days, other than to get Travis Hunter, or do you trade your one and give New England your one next year? Would you take either of those to know, all right, I can go up and get Travis Hunter?
No, I'm not doing either one.
Why not? You solve two things.
You create more problems than you solve.
By trading next year's one? Is this their window?
What do you mean?
Like they're in a closing window right now, aren't they?
I think they're pretty much in a closed window.
You think it's closed at this point?
I think so.
Okay.
Look, you have a new head coach in here. You've got to give him a chance. You don't give him a chance. I am not going to. I'll trade up for a quarterback. I have no problem doing that. Trading up for somebody else. Like Travis Hunter is still a coin flip, just like everybody else is.
I mean, quarterbacks are too.
Quarterbacks are too, but at least you get, you know, a quarterback could change your franchise. Travis Hunter doesn't. No other position changes your franchise. Maybe an offensive lineman, like, who solidifies the line, like Zach Martin did. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There was already Travis Frederick and Tyron Smith, and then you threw him on there, and he was obviously a Hall of Famer right from the beginning. Like, that gives you three all-pros on your line. That changes your whole franchise. But, you know, no individual does that other than a quarterback for the most part. So, and it's still a risk. And then you're so far away. This team is not one player away. If the Chiefs were drafting and they said, I'm going to give up my first and second, I'm going to go get Travis Hunter, go for it. You're in your window. You're the Chiefs. If you're Buffalo, you're in your window. You don't have a... The Cowboys have so many holes. They can't afford to trade. They need those picks.
Agreed, but if I said Hunter's going to come in here and he's going to play corner for you and he's going to contribute at receiver in certain packages, and those are two of the areas you could argue you're most desperate for.
Yeah.
Give up the one next year. Things don't work out. If your team starts struggling, well, then... You may be moving certain guys in trades anyway to try and pick capital back up.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's like you could take, let's just say he turns into Patrick Sertan or Sauce Gardner.
Okay.
I mean, and those are really, really good players. Sauce doesn't even sniff the postseason, man.
But let's say he turns into, and obviously I think he'd be a better player, but in terms of volume of contribution, it wouldn't be this. Let's say he's Sauce Gardner, and at the same time, he's Cedric Wilson for your team. Where I think he's a better player I think he's a better player than Cedric Wilson, but in terms of the amount of contribution he'd be able to do as a part-time offensive player.
It's a valid question.
And let us know on the Franklin Injury Attorneys fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053, what you would want to do.
Dallas window is closed until they get a QB. QBs don't change franchise without supporting cast. Not worth it to trade up. Giants are getting Hunter or Carter after getting Russ and Winston. People were upset about the Frederick deal because they did move away from Sharif Floyd.
And you got 469 and 817 here chiming in saying what they would rather do is just, I'd rather go trade Micah for that fourth pick. Which I don't know if Micah straight up for the fourth pick does it. It might have to be Micah and like one extra thing.
You don't think Micah gets you the fourth?
Micah can get you. Here's the problem.
He would get you 2-1.
It is not normal to see somebody get traded for a top five pick. You know what I mean? Like when you make that trade, typically you're making the trade for a future first rounder that you don't know exactly where it's going to land. It's very rare to see it. Like we don't have much history of how much can that pick get you when it's a guaranteed top five. So I think it might be a case of where you have to say, all right, it's Micah and then it's maybe a fourth rounder, or it's Micah and a future second, or Micah and a future third, or something like that. It may have to go that way. Maybe Micah just doesn't. Maybe that's all they care about, and they just go, we'll take the trade. But you got to remember, New England is saying, we are sacrificing the number four pick and cheap control for 5 years to walk into an expensive Micah Parsons contract.
But a guaranteed player.
It is.
As people are saying, you know, like Hunter played on an average team against average competition. I think he's really, really good. I don't know if the competition matters, but I'm sure, I mean,
he's...
How did he do against Tet McMillan when they played?
McMillan gave him some issues at corner. Broadus always goes back to the Stanford receiver. I can't ever pronounce his name, but the Stanford receiver that's coming out, he's one that Broadus thought. That's why Brian thinks he should play receiver. I think he's a great corner. I think he's a great receiver. Like, to me, I've made this comparison before. It's Sauce Gardner at corner and Chris Godwin at receiver. That's who he is to me.
Jeez.
And I mean, Chris Godwin's a good player. Do I want Chris Godwin with the number four pick, though? Or would I take Sauce Gardner over Chris Godwin? That's the way I look at it.
Wow. B-Low.
D-Belt.
105.3, the fan. It's Sean and RJ. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden alongside. And Peyton Russell is a young lad. A wee young lad.
Very wee.
We like to play a game with him when Sean is out. Because he won't play when he's here. Although I think he's coming around to the idea. And we do. We have secured a special guest, a phone a friend for Peyton Russell, someone you know very, very well if you've been around the radio station for quite a long time. And we are going to do it in the 9 o'clock hour along with Brett Boone at 9:20 next on 105 through the family.